Then this chapter 7 is a quoted extract from Birth Pangs from the Bottomless Pit, which I wrote in 1979. So I wrote this in 1979 in Birth Pangs from the Bottomless Pit. Now, am I one of the two witnesses? No. There will be two witnesses. One will represent the church, and the other will represent the nation of Israel. Moses, one of them will represent it, and that's going to happen. I always had trouble trying to figure out. I just couldn't tell when rapture was going to be, and I wasn't supposed to be able to. So that was a long time ago. Chapter 7 in that book, and if you haven't, I imagine you've all got a copy of it. You can look in the book, and they're just exactly like you see here. But chapter 7 was sinking ships and shaking shores. I didn't think that was unscriptural, because if that's not sinking ships and shaking shores up there in Haggai 2 and 6, I'd like to know what the Sam Hill it is. It is. And we are getting a situation over there right now where you're going to see more earthquakes, more earthquakes, more earthquakes, and eventually you're going to see one that will reach all the way up into Europe, go all the way down through Israel. And brother, when it starts, you won't have to sit there and wonder what's going on. But all we've seen up to now is a warning of it. And pretty soon, I've been putting some of these in here. To view the birth pangs, click on birth pangs on our website menu, then click on birth Pangs figures. This is all on my website. It was all from a long time ago, and it is now coming to fruition. I just did not know how to put the end part of it together. I couldn't tell when it was going to come. I still can't tell when it's going to come. But finally, after Chuck's dad came and after Chuck came, I began to listen to them, and I began to say, okay, I understand this part, and I'm not sure if they do, but they have no idea how much they helped me. So if you want to, let's look this up, you can, but here it is right here. Well, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Well, which third of the ships were destroyed? Why just a third? Well, this was something that I didn't have any other way to show statistical evidence of what God was talking about. Now, God knew how they were going to be destroyed. But if I hadn't gone to school and I hadn't been trained to be what I am, I could never have figured this out unless God just whispered in my ear. He sent me to that school. The schools I went into, they were called Institutions of Higher Learning. And brother, they put it to you. I made so many records in there, they thought I was cheating on the test. And they put me in a room all by myself, and the teacher stood in there, just was in there the whole time. I never cheated on those things. And so, how can this be? Who am I going to check with? How am I going to do that? You say, well, you shouldn't even have had to check. Well, you should have just trusted God. I did trust God. And because I trusted God, God said in his word, try me. I didn't try him in doubt. I just wanted to know why just a third. How am I going to find that out? Do you know that most of the Lord's, the shipping, most of the shipping is insured by Lloyd's of London? Lloyd's of London insures the shipping on the open sea. They don't have hardly anybody else that does. And so Lloyd's of London, I wrote him a letter and I said, now, I want to know, how about these ships that are destroyed? I said, how many of them are destroyed in port by large waves? And they said, a third of them. And when I found that out, I said, that's why the Lord sent me to school. And you're not here by accident. And I'm not here by accident. Because I can tell you something about every one of you. You have a very great interest in what God's got to say. I was trained to be a help to you, and you were trained to be a help to me, because that's the truth. And so, at any given time, A third of the ships are in port, and the rest of them are on the open sea. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the tribulation period when it really starts. That great earthquakes begin over there. A third part of the ships that are in port are going to be destroyed. You say, how do you know that? That's exactly what happens. That's exactly what it always happens. They can't survive out there in port. They just get, boom, washed away. Well, now, these people that are watching all this stuff on television, what do you think they're going to believe when all of a sudden the ships are destroyed in port by tsunami waves? I've been putting this stuff out. Well, it's God that led me to do it. God gave me a good mind. So how can I say, well, I'm real smart? No, God gave me a mind that can understand this stuff. And I believe God. I didn't say, okay, I'm going to examine this and prove God wrong. Not at all. I wanted to know, Lord, how can I explain these to myself and to them? I know they're going to happen because you're God. He's never talked to me, but he talks to us through the Word, through the Scriptures. The preceding chapters have continually added to the premise that God will destroy sinful mankind with the earth. He's going to use the earth that he made to destroy sinful mankind. And this chapter and those which follow will continue to build upon this premise. The major contention of this promise is that God will move the massive tectonic plate shown in figure 3 approximately 1 to 2 feet during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. I went back and I computed all this different ports and things, and I looked at all that and I said, now wait a minute here. The teachers at school, they didn't have this right. But I kept my mouth shut because I realized if I told them what I believed, they'd swear up and down I was a new lighter. And so, guess what? They have disowned John. Oh, I better not. Well, I'm going to say it. They've disowned John Penn because John Penn, he believes basically the same thing I do. And both of us have this in common. If you go to a seminary, you're going to find some good apples and bad apples. That's going to happen. And if people don't understand that, they'll get the idea. If I haven't been to the seminary, I don't know much. Listen, God does the thing. God gives you the knowledge. God calls you to do things. And I'm trying to do now what I couldn't do when I was going around doing these things because they wouldn't have listened to anything else I said. I had preachers that out and out lied to me about, I remember one church, I'm not going to go into that. Give me a pat on the back, Terry. It is this destroying with the earth that will create the horrifying scenes described in Isaiah 29:6 and Luke 21:25. Now notice this, Isaiah 29:6. You know why I like Isaiah? Isaiah reveals more prophecy than any other prophet. And Isaiah is clear, crystal clear. The problem with Isaiah, and it's not a problem, is that Isaiah will talk about something at the first of his book that's going to happen at the last. And then he'll jump way over here and you say, well, he shouldn't do that. Listen, he followed the Spirit itself. And he followed the Spirit itself, and because he did follow the Spirit, that's what you've got. Isaiah 29:6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord a host with thunder, with earthquake, and great noise, and storm, and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. That's exactly what these tectonic plates produce. And I didn't try God in the sense that I'm going to prove you wrong. I tried God like he told me that this is going to happen. And he told me to try. And I wanted to know, not whether there's a God or not, but I wanted to know what he meant when he said this and how that would happen. Because I don't think that's doubting God. It's trying to figure it out. Now, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Listen, we're going to be here. We're not going to go through the whole tribulation period. Well, we're going to be here for some time. And when this stuff starts, you won't have to think, I wonder if this is the tribulation period. Well, that bothers me. You wouldn't believe how many mothers it bothers. You wouldn't believe how many bleeding hearts it bothers. And I wouldn't dare call them bleeding hearts on television, because it'd be a race riot or something. And you know, I was born in up in northern Arkansas. Do you know? Now I'm just going to put this plain. I didn't know anything about blacks. I never heard the word nigger. I never heard it. My forefathers were racially prejudiced. I'll admit that. But so was I. We used to fight with the blacks on the way from home. They went to one school, Dunbar. We went to another school, and when we crossed tracks, we'd fight. We fought all the time. You say, well, you were racially prejudiced. That was after I got to Little Rock. First time, and let me tell you how Christian-like my father was. My father, the blacks would come into town early in the morning. And I never saw them. And so I asked Dad one time, I said, how come all the labels are off of those cans out there? He said, well, son, he said, those are for the blacks. And that's what they called them. They didn't call them nigger. I didn't even know what a nigger was. And it just wasn't discussed. My grandfather never talked about it. He never did anything. Was he racially prejudiced? I'm sure he was. But he was a very loving man. And my grandfather, he didn't let me get away with anything. He told me, they taught me when I went up there and lived with them. They said, don't ever call any adult by their first name. Don't ever do that. Well, I respected my grandparents. And quite frankly, my grandfather had really let my dad have it. And that's when Dad abandoned us. He left Batesville because he knew he couldn't live there in the presence of his mother and father, and abandoned us. They loved us. I had a wonderful mother. And she was a marvelous woman. And Dad just went off and left her. He had no reason for doing it. And I held her all night long like this. And she cried and she cried and she cried and she cried and she cried. That was the most traumatic experience I've ever had in my life. But you say, well, did any good come out of it? Yeah. I didn't cheat on my wife. I didn't run off and leave her. You say, did you ever lust? Yes. But did I ever carry through with it? No. Because I knew what effect it had had. You said, well, you mean good things come out of bad things? Yes. And so Papa Mac, he knew he couldn't stay there in town. And so Papa Mac told me, don't ever call him by the first name. Peck Metcalf would come over and visit all the time. And I'd call him Mr. Metcalf. And his wife would come with him. And he came to me two or three times, more than that, and said, Tom, call me Peck. And I said, I can't do that. I said, I'm not supposed to. And he just kept after me, call me Peck. So we were sitting on the front porch one day, and I called him Peck. Man, my grandfather came on me like a duck on a June bug. And he chewed me out from one side to the other. And he'd never done that to me before. I'd always just done what he wanted. And so he called my mother. My mother chewed me out. And I thought, good grief, you know. But I was raised in an atmosphere where you didn't call them niggers. Now, I'm going to tell you how bad it was. And I'm going to use that word because this is important. When I came down to Little Rock, we moved in, and the guys that ran around with me were white, and every once in a while they'd say, there goes old nigger Joe. They'd say, there goes old nigger Joe. Well, I didn't know. I never heard the word. So one day I started talking to him, and we got to be pretty good buddies, and we ran around together. And one day, I didn't know any better. I said, how you doing, Nigger Joe? He never had anything to do again with me. So I've learned a lot of things the hard way. But I'll tell you one thing about God. He takes the things in your life that cause you problems, and He teaches you how to get through with them. So if you know if there's a fight between a white man and a black man, who do you think I'm for? You say, you're racially prejudiced. I'm sorry, but that was just carried out through my life. And I felt so bad about Joe. But anyway, you just face them. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. The translated word wave is, now if you see AI, that's like pronounced like an aisle. Like an aisle you go down. So that word, anytime you see that, it's got an S in front of it. It's Sayu, Sayu, Sayu. And there shall be Sayu in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the word waves roaring. The word translated wave is Sayu, which means a particular type of wave. It means a wave that breaks on the shoreline, a wave of the surf. The nations of the world will be in great perplexity because the roaring sound of the sea and the surf, it is this phenomena of sea and surf that will destroy one-third of the world's shipping. The claim has been made that unbelievably violent earthquake and violent activity will be occurring along the area indicated by dashed lines on figure 3. Now, that all these figures are in my book, but you also have them on our internet. You can call, if you got an internet, you can call us up, and there it is. It will be occurring along the area indicated by dashed lines of figure 3. There used to be a thing about that thick we'd send out to people. And my health's gotten so poor, I just can't do this kind of stuff anymore, and I have to rely on other people to do it. And it's, I try to put this out now where you can look up the stuff I put out a long time ago. It is now starting to become valid. Please note that most of the great cracks in the Earth's crust lie on the ocean and sea floors of the world. If I am correct about the earthquake and volcanic activity along these cracks, then I am positive that what I am about to describe will definitely occur. There are many types of waves that exist on the ocean surface, the most common being those indicated by winds and tides of the earth. But the most horrifying of all waves that pound the shorelines of the world is not produced by wind or tide. It is the unbelievable tsunami produced by earthquake and volcanic eruption on the ocean seafloor. I knew that God understood this. I knew He knew why this was true. So you can't accuse me of being racially prejudiced or anything. I knew that. And so what I did, God's never spoken to me directly. I'd be scared to death if He did. And I had to learn all this. God called me up for what I did and what I do. Did I do it perfectly? Absolutely not. But I knew there had to be some way I could find out about these waves and why the two-thirds would be destroyed. Tsunamis are not tidal waves. They are caused by undersea earthquakes or volcanoes and have killed millions of people down through the ages. Tsunami is the Japanese word for storm wave. That's what they are. You know all these things that happen here where all of a sudden everything's just going fine, you know, and whoom! In comes this thing like it did down toward, what's that little town down there? Just blew it away. And, now look what's happening right now. You could get one of those. So the problem is, why am I here? I'm right here because you're right here. You're not here by accident. I'm not here by accident. We're here to love the brethren. And I love you. I care for you because I know you. I know you trust God. So when I looked up the word in the first beatitude, it said I had a weak spirit. And I thought, well, why would it tell me I had a weak spirit? Well, right up above it and below it, it'll tell you why. Because all power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus Christ. And that's why I've taught for years, God is light. You know, first thing I said to John Penn, I said, I should have told you some of this before, but I said, I would have been disowned by the seminary. He said, well, Tom, I'm going to tell you something. He said, they've disowned me. Now, that's just between you and I. Please don't spread that around. I wouldn't do anything to hurt school or these teachers. But if you're a teacher or if you're a preacher and you think you're helping God and you won't go along with what he teaches you, then why go to the seminary? That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. We've learned this together. The Alaska earthquake. Tsunami is a Japanese word for storm waves. The Alaska earthquake of 1964 produced the tsunami wave pattern above in figure 6. Now, you got that in the book. Because I know every one of you have got one of these books to move from the epicenter to Hawaii. Tsunamis travel as fast as some jet aircraft. Tsunami can now be predicted so that appalling death tolls of yesteryear can be avoided. A network of seismic warning stations now functions across the Pacific to give early warning of an approaching tsunami. Now, the truth is that most of them don't make the grade because they are not soon enough. They do get warning, but these things travel so blasted fast. That thing that happened up in the Gulf of Alaska came in and hit the city of Alaska, the cities in Alaska, before they could even draw their breath. As you can observe on the lower half of figure 6, all this is in the book. And don't forget, I wrote this thing in 1979. It was published in 79. So how could I have known all this if I hadn't been to school? You say, well, God would whisper in your ear. God doesn't whisper in my ear. And I don't believe in demons. I believe in fallen angels. And I believe that fallen angels can transform themselves, at least for brief periods, into angels of light. And they can fool people. And you'd be surprised how many people there are on this earth that believe they've seen angels. You can't over at their nursing home. You know how many people tell us they'd seen Jesus, and there he was, you know, and they couldn't understand. And they believe, how can somebody believe you can lose your salvation and see Jesus? I don't understand a lot of things, but I know God said to try him, and I didn't try him because I wanted to prove him wrong or because I wanted to be popular. I was expecting to get it from atheists and agnostics, but it's believers that have given me more trouble than anybody else. Earthquake or volcanic eruption causes a sudden downward movement of the earth block. The downward movement of water above the block produces not a surface wave, but rather a wave which moves horizontally through the water from the bottom to the top. There are certain things I don't tell you, and I can't tell you. Because if I told you these things, you'd wonder if I had my right mind. I was called in one night. I was called in and I was asked to... See, one of the things I was taught to do, if you give me something out in the water and I know how it's shaped and I know the sail surface that's on the top of the water, we got ships all over the ocean, commercial ships, all kind. They send out all kind of reports. And so I got called in. I don't know where Major Shablow was. He hated me. And he called me in his office one day and told me he hated me. I thought he was joking, but he had mental problems. Now, I didn't know that, and he was going to a psychiatrist. So there I am working for a guy, and he had mental problems, and he hated me. And I told him, I said, I'm sorry you hate me. I said, I don't hate you. I said, I care for you. I said, you're my commander. I said, why do you hate me? He says, because you're so D-A-M-N, smart. And they would come to me and ask me, and I would have to do things like that. And so I'm not going to tell you the story, because I was sworn to secrecy on this, and I'm not going to tell you the story. But finally, they wanted me to tell them they had something went down in the ocean off the Kamchatka Peninsula. They said, we want to know where it is and give us time increments where it's floated. I said, well, how do you know it's floating? They said, we don't know. It probably sank, but we said, we can't take a chance. I said, well, why not? He said, that's not your business. I was trained to trace things that got down in the water. You have to know the sail surface. You have to know the shape. You know how much of it's on top and how much is on bottom. And we've got the ocean currents of all the world. And I was trained to do this. That's another reason God sent me down here. And so finally I told him, I said, I can't do that. So they called back to the main Pentagon building, and they told me I had to do it. I said, I can't do it. And finally I think they called the president's office, but I can't be sure. But finally they said, okay, that's as far as I'm going to go. I got the dimensions of it. I got the shape and size of it. And when I got it, I was able to go back. I've trained to do all kind of stuff like that. And I was trained in the physical sciences. I'm an expert at it. So that's why he hated me. He couldn't do that. And I had him. I had them. And one day I sat down by an old boy named Turner, and he is the only missionary Baptist I ever met in the ABA. I happened to sit down by him in a command post briefing, and I had to go to all those, and we got to talking, and there he was. He said, Mac, he said, what are you going to do when you get out of here? I said, I'm going to go back to school. And I said, I'll work. And I said, I want to go through the seminary and I want to learn some stuff. He said, well, you're going to go through the Missionary Baptist Seminary, aren't you? I said, well, yeah. He said, good. He said, they need you there. And I said, well, okay. So I went back. Man, you talk about disappointment. You wouldn't believe how disappointed I was. You know why I was disappointed? I found out those teachers were just like me. That's what I found out. And I never will forget when they told me, I never will forget this. I went in, I delivered, every time they launched a missile out of the Soviet Union, I was required to, I did this. The major didn't even know how to do it. And so I would take it down and give it to this lady, and she would, the report of when it was launched, what the visibility and everything was. And I had to extract from other stations around it. It's a very difficult thing to do. And so I was down there, and this black lady would always type them up, and then she'd take them up to the command post. They'd send it on up somewhere else. And she said, I heard that you've been, you're going to a seminary. I said, yeah, I'm going back there. She said, well, are you a God-called preacher? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. But she said, oh, Brother McElmurray, you know what I like about you? I didn't know what to say. She said, the reason you make a good preacher is because you're so worldly. And I got so tickled, I didn't say anything. I said, well, I said, I thank you. And I went on back, and I thought, you know, I've got to be careful of that. Because if you get the big head over what you are and what you know, you're not worth much to God. And I learned that I learned that God himself in a personality, he's meek and lowly. That's what he thinks of himself. He doesn't think of himself as a mighty monarch. That's not the way God is. And he says that he's meek and lowly. And that was what really made me realize, you're not meek and lowly, Tom McElmurray. You're just run away with your own wisdom. And then I began to wake up. And that's the story of my life, really. In any case, he says, tsunami across the oceans as long, low waves which seagoing vessels may not notice. But as you may observe in Figure 7, this is all in the book. When the tsunami approaches the shoreline, the energy of the wave is confined in shallower and shallower water. Tsunamis have been known to rise to heights in excess of 250 feet. How do I know that? Because they leave an impression on the banks, on the walls. And in Alaska, when they back in the as in past time, we've got tsunamis that went up higher than this, and they made a mark on the top of the wall. So I'm sharing this with you because think of the power of God. And so I never have tried God thinking, I'll disprove this. I have sought him knowing what he knows, and I want to know what he wants me to know. And so that's why I'm here. He doesn't call every preacher to do the same thing, but if you're God called, he wants you to fulfill the role that he has for you in life. Do I think I fulfill it well? You think I think I fulfill it well if God himself says that he's take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I found rest unto my souls because I respect God. God doesn't think highly of himself. God knows he's all powerful. He understands all that. But that was the only thing that kept me. I know. And Chuck's dad helped me more than he'll ever realize, and I appreciate that. I was so happy when you asked me to do his funeral. Well, I figured Chuck would do it, and I did my grandmother's, so I figured Chuck would do it. And Chuck, I appreciate y'all letting me do it, because I had deep respect for your father. Your father was a wonderful man. He didn't say a whole lot, but what he did say, God really used your dad. And all these places that the people didn't particularly like him, and they didn't pray for him, I feel sorry for them, because your dad had some things that they needed to know, but they're the ones that didn't want to know them. And you've never accused me of that, and you never accused your dad of that either, because your dad wanted the truth, and he paid a price for it. You'll always pay a price for it. Now, the increase in tsunamis known to rise to heights in excess of 250 feet, the increase in tsunami occurrences during the past 190 years is made evident in Figure 8. When a tsunami crashes against a coastline, it destroys everything in its path, up to half a mile inland. That's what's going to happen. We're going to be here doing part of that. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, are you worried? No, I am not worried. You say, well, what if you get caught up in one of these? Hallelujah, I'll get out of here early. Standing on the sea is virtually unaffected by a tsunami. But woe unto the ship that is caught in port. There is not a ship built which can withstand the force of a full-blown destroyed. And all ships in port were destroyed by a wall of water that whitewashed a half mile inland during the last 3 days and one half of the tribulation period. Most of the coastal cities of the world and the ships in port will be completely destroyed by tsunami after tsunami. This is what will produce much of the distress and perplexity among the nations of the world. Can you think about all these people that just didn't get it? You know, that guy says, what he's blah, 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 bl